You've landed on Mom Swipes Left, a podcast with two middle-aged white women celebrating Juneteenth and hoping not to be canceled. On today's show, we have a phantom cat shaver. Also, we talk about paradoxes, which is in itself a paradox because we're not really sure what a paradox is. Enjoy.
Welcome back to Mom Swipes Left. This is episode 232. I am your host, Jen.
And I'm your host, Carol.
How you doing, Carol?
Doing great.
The sun is out for the first time in two goddamn weeks.
God, it's been out for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I have some good news that I want to share.
What?
So I went for my mammogram right before this recording.
Did the whole office stand and applaud your beautiful titties?
They did. They were like, Jesus, lady. Okay, so first of all, I don't know who knows this, but I had something show up on a scan and I've had to go get a mammogram every 6 months for like
2 years. I forgot about that. You have
2 years.
We're sisters.
They said it was calcification. Oh. I don't fucking know. Something showed up. So they've had to do these extraordinary mammograms every 6 months and they hurt like fuck. Like your normal mammogram is a little squeezy. It hurts, whatever. This is extra.
I must have no nerve endings in my tits because sometimes I'll look, you know how they always say lift your chin?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll sneak a peek. I can't even identify
that is my tit. Well, do you have the dense breasts as well? Because I have dense breasts.
No, mine are actually rather intelligent. It's just I have a cyst. Zinger burger, zinger, zinger
burger, zinger burger, zinger, zinger burger. So mine are a very dense tissue.
Oh.
And so they have to wicked extra flatten them to see stuff. And they are putting me through machinations. Like, I cannot even tell you. It is super painful for a few seconds. It's not the end of the world, but I have not enjoyed it. I grit through it just like I have all the rapes. Zinger burger, zinger, zinger burger, zinger burger, zinger, zinger burger. That academy, like. So after it was over, you have to sit there because they show it to the doctor immediately because you have concerns or whatever.
Right.
She came in and she was like, so it turns out nothing has changed. So you don't have to come back. You just got to come back yearly. I mean, that's good news.
That's fantastic.
I'm very
news.
Happy about it. I don't have to have no biopsies, none of that bullshit. My titties is good.
For those of you in the titty age group, what's it called?
Mammogram?
Mammogram age group. I was like, titty squish. Just so you don't panic. I have known so many people.
So many.
They get called back and it's cysts or calcifications or all of this stuff.
It just happens.
And even if it is cancer, I'm not trying to downplay breast cancer.
Right.
But I've had a lot of friends also who have had actual cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They get it removed. They have a lumpectomy.
As long as they can find it early. And that's why I went every 6 months because I wanted to make sure that it was all okay. And, you know, there are very fast growing breast cancers that you just don't know you have, but the mammogram is not your, it's your friend.
It doesn't feel like it at the time.
It's not fantastic, but it is not as bad as a really bad period.
Oh, God,
which
no.
We've all had. So get your mammograms. This is ironic. A couple of years ago, my doctor was like, well, now they're saying you don't have to get a mammogram every year, that it's just causing more trouble than it's worth because they find things. Fuck you. I am paying you money. Check my titties once a year because they did find something. I had to do these extra things. It's fine. But had I not been getting regular mammograms, you don't know. But anyway, I'm in the clear.
Well, good.
I know. I feel really happy about it.
Glad. Glad to hear it.
Thanks.
Shitless grievances.
I have a shit list.
Okay.
I'm really upset about it.
Okay. Give it to me.
I discovered over the weekend that leprosy is still a thing, first of all, that you can get. Did you know that?
Yeah. Why did you think it was gone?
Just did.
Oh.
It's totally treatable.
Yes.
Which I did not actually know, but it is.
Mm.
However, how am I 52 going on 53, and it's the first time in my life that I have ever heard that you can get leprosy from an armadillo?
Do you have to fuck it?
No. All you have to do is touch it or be in an area where there's been an armadillo.
No way.
Yes, sir.
Wait, where'd you learn this?
I learned it on the internets.
Are you sure it's...
Yes, I looked it up several places. They carry a bacteria that causes leprosy.
Are they the only ones?
Yeah. Well, the only animal. I mean, other people can give you leprosy right. also. But it's very hard to get leprosy, apparently. That's why it's probably almost gone. You have to spend inordinate amount of time with people who have leprosy to get it. Like, you can't just get it right. from sitting next to them.
Right.
You have to sit next to them every day for like 28 days.
Yeah, it's like HIV.
No, HIV, you have to actually fuck someone or suck their blood out.
Oh.
Or their semen, I guess. I don't yeah, even see, know if that's true. I can't.
We were kids of the HIVs and we still don't know.
We don't know. And don't take our word for it because we don't actually know how you get HIV.
Wait, so I want to know, down in Florida,
yeah.
armadillos are everywhere,
yeah.
dead on the side of the road. People have to pick that shit up.
Well, maybe
some people eat them.
Oh, no, no.
Can you get leprosy by eating it?
I would think so.
I mean, once you cook it off.
If it has the bacteria, which it does carry. But
maybe cooking it.
Oh, well, cooking it probably does kill the bacteria. But why am I this old? Maybe people in the South do know, but I want everyone to understand that you can't be touching armadillos or even hanging out in their fields because you will get leprosy, which is totally curable.
That's hardly like a that scary thing.
I'm just saying.
Because if I had a chance to pet an armadillo and make it roll up like a roly-poly, I would totally do that.
Me too. But at least we know that we could then go get antibiotics once we start to get the big sores and things that come.
Right.
But how would I know that? If I was never told that an armadillo could give me leprosy, how would I know that after I touched that armadillo, the welting sores that...
Well, I would hope that once you lost a finger or two, you'd go to a doctor and they'd be like, oh, you got leprosy. Let me give you some.
All I'm saying is there needs to be more communication. And all of these goddamn firewalls on all of these goddamn news sites are ruining our ability to have information. I'm livid.
But what was the catalyst that made you realize this?
I don't know where I came across it, but I was... Oh, I know what it was. I was reading an article about things that we think we are done with, but we are not. One of them was child labor. Do you know that child labor is coming back now into fashion? All these crazy Republican right-wingers.
Are we talking U.S.?
Yes.
No shit.
They are advocating for child labor. They're all about it.
Huh.
Not the regular Republicans, the nutbags who truly make so much noise that you kind of just assume that that's the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party that's not that should really step up.
So what kind of child labor are they talking?
The amount of kids doing work instead of going to school has gone up 160 million around the world.
Okay. But that's around the world.
But that's a lot of children.
It is. But I would expect that in places like Bangladesh and Egypt.
Back in May, Republican state lawmakers in Wisconsin circulated a new bill that would allow workers as young as 14 years old to serve alcohol in bars and restaurants. It creates, quote unquote, a simple solution to workforce staffing issues, said the Republican bill sponsors. Wisconsin is not the only state looking to loosen labor laws affecting minors. Over the last few months, there's been bills led in states like Arkansas, Ohio, and Iowa aimed at making it easier for teenagers to work in more jobs and for more hours in the day.
Can I be honest with you?
What?
I don't find that egregious.
The U.S. Labor Department announced it had found 2 10-year-olds working at a McDonald's in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, I did hear that. That's
until 2 a.m.
That's a one-off.
Is it?
Well, that's why it made the news.
But isn't it a slippery slope?
Back in the day, when you and I were teenagers, I remember going and getting very easily a work permit so that I could work during the summer at the age of 13.
Okay. And that's still true.
But it's not as easy.
But serving alcohol? Hall?
Dude, just pause for a second. If you're going to a bar
and
you order yourself a drink, wouldn't you rather have a 14-year-old serving you that so you can be like, what kind of shot is that? Give me a full shot.
Oh, you're an asshole.
All I know is that when my kids were 13, 14, 15, and they were starting to apply for jobs, and this was, 10 years ago? They couldn't fucking get a job because there was a slicer involved, a deli slicer. Right. Everything was, you're too young. And I was like, for fuck's sake, now they're just going to have to blow cock because they can't get a real job.
I don't think children should serve alcohol.
I guess maybe.
And I don't think that they should work on heavy machinery.
No.
What you're saying to me is that the laws enacted in 1938 maybe shouldn't stick?
No, what I'm saying is that back in the day where kids were working 10 and 12 hours.
Right.
I don't believe that that should be the case. And it seemed like it settled out into a fairly reasonable pattern in the 60s, yeah. 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, it started to get a bit draconian against child labor. You know, what people were calling child labor, so that kids who wanted to work at 14, 15, 16 couldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of all of these OSHA laws and regulations and stuff like that. So if they're easing those, I think it's okay.
I think some of those.
That all seems very reasonable.
It does, but I think that there's also a difference between a teenager and a child. And as we know, here in Maine, there's still a lot of leeway for kids who have farming families.
Right.
They don't go to school when it's potato harvest.
It's not that they're missing school.
No, it's accommodated.
Right.
It is slightly a slippery slope. I don't want no teenagers giving me my drinks. They don't know how to make them. They fucking suck.
But you could still get extra alcohol.
Apparently, there's 40.3 million people living in slavery right now.
What are they defining as slavery?
It's basically someone who is forced to work against their will or are owned or controlled by an employer, have limited freedom or movement, or are dehumanized.
Here's the thing. I understand that there are sex workers who are put in those positions. There are children who are working who don't want to be working. I know that there are people around this world who have it super shitty.
Yes, I do.
But if I were to extrapolate from that description, no, the world's a shitty place.
God, it sucks.
And when you think about indentured servitude, it's very easy to get yourself in a situation where you're working your ass off.
It's true.
Just to continue to only pay off your interest payments.
And make someone else rich. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very common mm-hmm. occurrence.
Yeah.
That said, we get to go home at night. We're not being forced to have sex with gross old men. Although...
You know, that's okay.
Speaking of slavery.
Oh, yeah.
It's Juneteenth.
Right now.
I had the day off because I'm the boss. And I decided Juneteenth is a holiday.
Oh, did you give?
Because why would you not?
Wait, did you give everyone?
I did.
Oh, what did the board say?
They didn't give a shit.
Oh, good.
So how do two white ladies celebrate Juneteenth? Let's talk about it.
Mm.
First of all, it's typical to wish people a happy Juneteenth or happy teenth.
Can I just go on the record with my dissatisfaction with the name? Far be it for me to criticize.
Yeah, far.
Juneteenth seems offensive.
Really?
It feels to me like you're saying the black people couldn't count above 10, and anything over 10 is a teenth.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But we honestly can't criticize it because at the end of the day, it's not our holiday.
No, I understand. I just am kind of surprised that it's acceptable.
I don't know.
Mass came to us. I know it was past the 10th of the month.
Wow.
But it was far past what I could count.
It's okay to say happy Juneteenth is all that I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Also, I remember Joel was at work on Juneteenth. That was before they gave him the day off, which they did this year.
Mm-hmm.
In the hospital, they had like a whole Juneteenth menu. And it was like barbecue ribs, watermelon, fried chicken. We talked about this
last year.
Everyone, because most of the people who work there are white, were like, is that? And remember Walmart had the watermelon cake?
And then there was one of the major art museums had a salad with watermelon in it. And we were criticizing them.
No, we weren't. We were talking about how they were getting shit for it. And the truth is that is actually kind of an okay thing to do because part of Juneteenth celebrations around this holiday are barbecues and what is considered to be Black American food, watermelon, barbecue ribs.
Ribs.
All the fucking delicious things.
But also the color red, you told me.
Color red apparently is a big part of the celebration because it evokes the idea of spilled blood.
Yeah,
because
it cut off Kunta Kinte's feet.
It's not delicious.
No.
I looked up how do you celebrate Juneteenth if you aren't black.
Just shut the fuck up, boy. Stay out of the way.
No. They say lean into Juneteenth and celebrate. It's your history. No, I like this.
Yeah, but
it's
I hate the phrase lean into.
It is absolutely a part of your experience. It's all of our history. I do like that idea. Anyway.
Is it bad that I'm kind of bored?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I, and I know this is totally a white woman perspective, but like I was thinking about how Juneteenth has become a national holiday, and I think that's fantastic. But women's holidays, and we've been through some shit. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. Women have been fucked. And our holidays are like Mother's Day. Yeah. You can eat my shit. Also, International Women's Day. Nobody celebrates that. It's not a national holiday. Women's History Month. Who gives a fuck? Nobody. Talk about Black History Month. It gets way more attention than Women's History Month. Who cares? And I'm not trying to take anything away from Black culture. I think you deserve it all. But where is the women holiday? I would like there to be a day that is about how I have been persecuted my whole life for being a woman, and I don't even have it as bad as my ancestors, but it's still not good. A Gash Day.
And the Postal Service can't deliver mail on Gash Day?
No, it's a fucking federal holiday. Mm-hmm. Stop what you're doing, sit your ass in your seat, eat some Cheetos, drink some beer, and celebrate the fact that I have been persecuted.
People. Wait. What would be the food and drink, though? Because I don't think that that's appropriate for Gash Day. What do you crave when you're period-y?
Anything salty.
Oh, yeah.
Salts.
Doritos.
Yeah, Doritos.
Oh, Cool dude. Ranch Doritos.
But also peaches. Let's get some peaches up in there. What else looks like a vagina?
There's everything so looks things. Like a vagina. If you cut it, right?
That is true. All I know is I feel like I need, before I die, I would like to see a day in which people celebrate women in a real way. And they celebrate the fact that we have come through a lot of bullshit. Again, we are not taking away from the day that it is, which is Juneteenth. And we are very proud to be celebrating that in the only way we know how, which is drinking.
Mm-hmm. Which has nothing to do with Black people. It just is everything we do with holidays.
Yeah, it's just holidays.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with you. Notable news.
Okay, what are we singing?
This is an old nod to a past episode.
Okay.
Living on a Prayer.
Ooh, I love it.
We've got a report on what we've got. Doesn't make a difference if it's late or not. We're stupid together, and that's our lot. For life, and we're not hot. Whoa. It's notable news. Whoa. Fueled with lots of booze. There's lots of words that rhyme with news. Like screws, brews, canoes and Tom Cruise.
Canoes and Tom Cruise.
I have goosebumps.
That was amazing.
First up, I have to admit that I don't take this very seriously. I ran it by my mother and sisters this morning.
Yeah.
And they were aghast.
Oh.
This is from the Daily Mail. A sick thug dubbed the Phantom Cat Shaver. Has no one wanted to call him the Pussy Shaver?
Honest to God.
Is feared to have attacked almost 100 pets, sparking a nationwide investigation. The elusive attacker is targeting pet cats with hair clippers and cruelly removing their fur.
Oh my God.
Here's a couple of pictures.
No, I don't give a fuck.
Cats who have come home half shaved.
Less goddamn hair in the house. They don't care. The cat doesn't care.
They're not cut. I'll tell you what. I got a fat dog here.
You do.
If she came home one night.
And she was shaved?
Oh my God. I'd be so thankful. I'd be $78 in the.
Honest to God.
Wouldn't have to pay a groomer.
I'm a little bummed that they only shave a little. Like shave it all.
I'm imagining it's somebody who's just walking around with clippers, like taking swipes. I know,
but it would be awesome if they just shaved the whole fucking animal.
Yes. So this is a cat with his back half shaved. I don't understand what the big deal is.
It's super harmless.
Others have reported that their furry pets have been sheared in Southampton and Littlehampton, West Sussex. Jesus, why is everything so hard? Littlehampton, West Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
The shocking rise in cat shavings has prompted fears of copycat attacks.
No.
Taking place.
Come on.
Natasha McPhee, 39, who runs the charity in Gillingham, Kent, warned cat owners to be vigilant.
Who fucking cares?
I don't really understand.
They're not hurt.
Here's one. No, they're not hurt. Here's a cat who has been particularly mangled with a shaver.
Okay.
It's like on its front paws sides.
Right, it doesn't look good. No, it doesn't hurt.
It's unattractive.
It's fine. I want to know the motivation.
Natasha McPhee says, I can only imagine that the people carrying out these attacks are doing it for their own self-gratification.
So gratifying.
Personally, I think they are sick and need to be caught as quickly as possible. The RSPCA is urging pet owners to be vigilant and to report any incidents of cat shaving. If a cat has been shaved, it would have had to have been held down by someone they don't know. We should put a lot of stress on the cat.
Stress.
Your cat may show signs of not wanting to go out anymore.
Oh, God. That's completely bullshit. Cats don't give no fucks.
I don't give no fucks.
And people get their pets groomed.
Up until last week, there have been 54 incidents.
Maybe it's Cranberry Electric.
We have not heard from Cranberry.
Maybe he's out shaving cats. He just loved the cats.
Dude. Should we call him?
I think so.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message answering system. Machine.
Cranberry here. Been very bored. In fact, last night I was giving my little Jerry a wash and a trim, and well, I got a little carried away with the clippers. But surely if I don't come, it's okay. It's just, one needs to keep their stamina up. I must dash.
What the what?
Do we think it's Cranberry?
I think all signs point to yes. He probably wants to touch a cat. And if the only way he can do that is with a razor, he's going to do it. And it's harmless. It's harmless.
Yeah, it is harmless.
We are on your side, Cranberry.
You can come to us. We have no judgment. Next up on Notable News. On February 12th of this year, Donnie Adams was attending a family event when things came to a head, as they do.
They certainly do.
Between two of his relatives.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go into the details, but long story short, he got bitten on his left thigh.
Damn, that's a party.
And there is no other detail. He broke up a fight. Somebody bit him. 2 days later, he noticed a small bump at the spot where his relative had sunk their teeth. The bite was also starting to get painful. So he went to a hospital.
People's mouths are nasty.
You know what they say?
What?
A dog's asshole
is
cleaner than a human's mouth.
Okay.
The doctors gave him a tetanus shot and an antibiotic. Yet his leg did not start getting any better.
What?
Quite the opposite, in fact. By the third day, my leg was very sore, said Adams. Couldn't walk. It was warm. Very painful.
Gross.
So Adams went back to the hospital, and not a moment too soon. Examining his leg, the doctors made a small incision. Out from Adams' thigh oozed a gray, stinking liquid, which meant his leg was undergoing necrotizing fasciitis.
Ooh, shoot.
Essentially, his flesh was dying and rotting under the skin.
Thanks, Uncle Al.
I looked at him and I said to him that I need to take you to the operating room, said Dr. Fritz Brink. Adams took the news that his leg was basically dying off surprisingly well. They assessed my wound, and it was very horrific, admitted Adams. But in my mind, I just had to get through whatever this was. You know, he's still drunk, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like a guy who's has some family trauma.
Before Dr. Brink put Adams under in the operating room, he warned him that he would likely come out of the operation with a relatively big wound. But after they got to work, he realized he had seriously underestimated the damage. Nearly all of Adams' thigh had been infected by the bacteria. What flesh had not already turned black and died was bright red and rotting.
Ew!
Which left Dr. Brink with a difficult decision.
Does he lop it off?
You're torn between being aggressive, as you can be, to stop the infection from spreading and leaving as much tissue behind so that it won't take 2 years to heal. Despite not necessarily going all in, Dr. Brink had to slice away 70% of the flesh in the front of Adam's thigh.
What? How do you live with 70% of your thigh flesh gone?
Well, he just got like a weak leg.
Okay.
Yeah, Adams got off lucky. If he had come to the hospital a day later, he would have lost his leg or his life. He's still facing a 6-month treatment regimen to regrow the flesh he lost.
Ew.
How do you regrow muscle?
I don't know.
I mean, Dr. Brink used a process called wound VAC to help Adam's leg heal. It basically involves stuffing a sponge into the wound, sealing it with a plastic wrap, and sucking. Whatever. That's gross.
Gross.
A human bite is dirtier than a dog bite or a dog's ass, as far as the kinds of bacteria that grows. Normal bacteria in an abnormal spot can be a real problem.
I'm going to bite everyone I fight with. I mean, I kind of already do.
He seems to have a really positive attitude.
Yeah.
But how do you go into that next family gathering? Whoever bit him? There's some
problems there.
I hope they paid for all this bullshit.
I hope they fucking did. And if they didn't, give him some weed or something.
Because you know, that person had dentures and had not cleaned them.
Yeah.
That's only where that's coming from.
Some kind of nasty mouth.
Last up on notable news, and this came across my desk a couple of times. The world's largest kidney stone, June 16th of this year. Man sets world record with a 5-inch kidney stone, weighing as much as 5 baseballs.
What?
A Sri Lankan man broke 2 world records this month. Canastus Kunghi. A 62-year-old retired soldier had not only the largest kidney stone, but also the heaviest.
Jesus.
Can you imagine passing that bullshit?
No.
It was larger than his actual kidney. Lengthwise, the stone measured 5.26 inches by 4.15 inches.
No.
Look at this shit, man. Here's a picture of the doctor holding it proudly.
Ew.
It looks like a pear.
Turnip.
From 3 Mile Island.
Ew.
Can you imagine trying to piss that out?
How does that happen? Did they have to take it out of him surgically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Kugadas Sutharsan removed the stone using a procedure called open pyolithotomy.
That sounds terrible. I'm glad they got it out.
Do you think they ate it?
No, they didn't eat it.
What is a kidney stone?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe you can eat it. Next up, what is a kidney stone? Kidney stones are hard deposits made of minerals and salts that form inside the kidneys. They are often caused by diet, excess body weight, and certain supplements and medications.
I don't think you should eat it.
Maybe it's like a corn nut.
No. In the olden days, he'd die.
I would love to have that in my cabinet of curiosities, though. I wonder what they do with it. They better not throw that out.
I think they throw it out.
That's it for notable news.
What I have here are apparent paradoxes.
Wait, should we remind people what a paradox is?
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like Zeno's paradox.
Oh, that's helpful. That just helped everyone.
Zeno's paradox is that when you cross a room, you hit a halfway point, right?
Yeah.
In the remaining half, you hit another halfway point.
Correct.
But hitting halfway points are infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You can never actually cross that room, and yet we do.
Mind-blowing.
You don't think that's fascinating?
It's okay.
It's like the theory of limits.
If you're drunk, you're safer driving home than walking. One way to compare the two routes home, walking or driving drunk, would be to tally up how many people die driving drunk versus how many die walking drunk. These dudes did a study, Levitt and Dubner, and they found that though more drunk drivers die every year than drunk pedestrians, by a factor of 13 to 1, drunk people also cover a lot more mileage via car than via foot. If you correct for how many miles each covers, a drunk driver now looks 8 times less likely to die than a drunk pedestrian undergoing the same journey.
How about drunk walkers versus drunk drivers kill other people?
Oh, yeah, I don't think they looked at that. It's also about the route that you take. If you're crossing 5 highways to get home walking, that's a lot more dangerous than driving those highways, even if you're drunk.
And also there's like creeks and things that you can fall into, crevasses. It would be really frightening to fall into an ice crevasse.
Yes, it would.
Have you ever thought about that?
No, not until this very day.
It's very deep and it's all blue and you cannot move. There's no way you can get out.
Jesus, Jennifer.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
So I guess the bottom line is paradoxes are dumb, I think is what we're getting at.
They're not dumb.
But also just take an Uber.
Right.
And that way, totally safe.
Oh, yeah.
People who drive slightly above the average speed get in fewer accidents.
That I actually believe. I know it's true, but I believe that because my ex-in-laws drove crazy slow.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to get in so many close accidents on the highway.
No, it's true. I mean, there's driving really slow and then there's driving the speed limit. And this is saying driving a little bit more higher speed than
the speed limit. Because nobody drives the speed limit. You always go five over, eight over. So if you're doing the speed limit.
So if you're going really fast and you hit something, your potential for death is probably higher than if you're going slow. That is, well, that's real.
Yeah, I guess.
But if you don't move at all on a highway and a car hits you, you're just as likely to be killed. These people who are going 50 on the highway, you're a menace.
You know what? That infuriates me. Isn't the minimum, there's a minimum speed limit.
I think so.
And I think it's higher than 50. Like if you can't manage 50, get the fuck off the big highway.
You need to be on the other roads. Right. There was a landmark study in 1964 that tried to find the relationship between a car's speed relative to others and the chance of getting into a collision. They looked at 10,000 different crashes and determined. If you drive faster than the median speed, that raises your chance of a collision. But if you drive slower than the median speed, you also raise your chance of a collision by pretty much the same amount.
You said 64, though?
Yeah, it's old.
They need to update that.
Well, they tried to replicate it. They haven't been able to.
Oh.
But they say collisions are all about passing. So when one car overtakes another, that's when they're most likely to collide. If you go 25 miles per hour faster than every car, you'll pass a lot of them, which raises your chance of hitting them.
Wait, why are people hitting cars passing them?
It's just when you hit. Oh. If you go 20 miles per hour slower than every car, a whole lot of them will pass you, raising your chance of being hit.
Oh, it's one of those statistic trickies. Tricky genie.
But that leaves one bit of the curve unexplained, Jennifer. The safest speed to travel isn't the exact median speed, but a little bit faster than that. A speed at which, per the passing theory, you'll be riskily passing a fair number of cars. Blame this oddity of the curve on the large number of slow vehicles that get in crashes making turns. The curve might also be thrown off by a lot of chronically slow old people. A little faster, you assume some more risk. At least you're not statistically likely to be old, meaning you're safer in one respect.
Whoa. Now I'm lost. This is like when Mark Pickle was trying to tell me that the older you are, the less likely statistically that you are to die. I hate statistics.
People who take multivitamins die sooner. I thought that was bullshit.
Really?
Yeah. It's saying unless you have been deemed vitamin deficient in something, there's no point in taking any vitamins.
But how is it killing us faster?
It's saying that even if vitamins offer no benefit at all, we might still predict that people who take them will outlive those who don't, right? Like it's a good, healthy thing to do. If you take vitamin supplements, you probably care a little bit about your health. You're doing something to try to, so you're probably doing other things.
Correct.
To extend your lifespan. But according to a study by the Iowa Women's Health people, they surveyed 40,000 women as they aged through 20 years, comparing them to people who did not take mineral and vitamin supplements. They found that the supplemented human beings were 6% more likely to die each year than their counterparts. Yeah. The one supplement that decreased mortality was calcium. Here's the rub.
Rubbing.
Many of the women took supplements because they developed diseases. So the diseases themselves increased their annual risk of dying. Didn't matter what they took. Still, when they took that into account, the data still said the supplements were associated with a higher risk of death.
Wow.
They basically got to a place where they were like, all right, it's causation, not correlation. People taking vitamins and minerals are poisoning themselves. Whoa, that came out of nowhere.
Did you see that?
That came out of nowhere.
It was like a moth out of my cooter. I don't even know what that went. Where'd it go? I'll be back in my cooter. Fascinating.
So I guess the long and short of it is don't take vitamins. I don't really know what that's saying.
Hard saying. Maybe just ask, go to a doctor.
Yeah, maybe
who knows.
Talk to someone who actually,
And don't just take shit because your mother puts it in the Christmas stocking.
Yeah.
Because she got it for sale at CVS.
Vitamins are really great. And I guess up till this very moment, I thought maybe they were just benign. But now maybe I'm actually killing myself slowly.
Yeah.
All right. So a century ago, rich women died giving birth more often than poor women.
What?
Did you know that your chance of dying...
The moth just gave you... Did you see it?
I see it's trying to attack you.
Fuck. Okay, sorry.
Did you know that your chance of dying while giving birth
got it.
In 1940 was 50 times what it was in 2000? In 1895, it was 100 times more. Bitches were just dying.
Wait. Let me think about this. Let me hypothesize.
Talk to me.
Was it because rich women were able to have a doctor present?
Close.
And the doctor would dare to do surgical procedures?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you're close.
What is it?
They were more likely to give birth in hospitals. And in 1915, hospitals were hideous. Terrible places. So it was lack of hygiene in hospitals. Doctors did not wash their hands, which is a nasty. So they'd be in somebody's guts, and then they'd come over and try to help you out. Just wipe it off on a dirty rag or whatever.
Early 1900s?
Yeah. Dead. And then also, they really liked forceps.
Yeah, they
did. And they would
did.
Just go in. Just I mean, just rip it. Shit out. Everything. The baby, placenta, hemorrhaging. Ugh, just horrifying.
Gross.
Okay, so last one. Stockdale paradox.
Never heard of it.
Optimism kills.
I have no doubt.
Vice Admiral James Stockdale spent over 7 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. At one point, he razored his own scalp up. That's nasty.
Why?
Right after that, he attacked his face with a 50-pound stool.
His own stool?
That's what I thought. I was like, that's a big...
That's a big poop.
Duke!
This story has gone off the rails. Let's clarify.
I'm pulling it in. His captors, they planned to do a propaganda film of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hells to the no. I'm going to make myself so fucking hideous you can't use it. Then for the rest of his internment, they just beat him up.
Okay.
So there was no videos made. But among the POWs, as often happens when you're incarcerated, he became a hero. He taught all the other POWs how to respond to torture. They started using their own language, consisting of taps.
Ooh, I do like this.
So a bunch of them died,
obviously.
Mm-hmm. Like hundreds died before they were released in 1973. And he said that the ones who didn't make it were the optimists.
Really?
He was talking about the blind optimism that denies immediate circumstances. So an optimistic person in the prison would say, we're going to be out for Christmas. I know it.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Christmas came, super fucking depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Even more depressed than before.
Mm-hmm.
And it ultimately killed them.
That's why I am the eternal pessimist realist.
This is not a true scientific thing that we're talking about with the Stockdale paradox.
But I think it could be.
But he's kind of right.
Yeah. My theory is, why would you ever be optimistic? If you are pessimistic, you can only be pleasantly surprised.
No, that is true. But there is a theory also that being pessimistic leads to bad results. That optimism can bring you places that pessimism can't get you to. And I think that that is actually true. I think you have to have a balance. But if I'm a prisoner of war, I'm pretty sure you got to stick with a little bit of pessimism. Like, you have to believe you're going to get out someday or else just kill yourself. Like, there's no point. But probably not soon. And you just say, not today, Jesus. Not today. But I get the idea that if you're so optimistic and you keep losing, that at some point that breaks your spirit.
Mephistopheles. Said, one of the biggest chains in life is hope. People who hope stay in their imprisonment forever because they think it's always going to get better.
Well, you're an idiot.
Well, maybe. Socials?
Wow.
I know, that took a turn.
It's because of you.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to be upbeat here.
Before we end, let's talk about next week.
I have a job and I have to go to a conference for a week. And I cannot record next week.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in the California IAs.
So?
Yeah.
Are we taking a week off?
We are. Because Jenny's too lazy to do it on her own.
Oh, fuck off. What am I supposed to do? Like, get my twat to talk to me?
Well.
Oh, actually, that would be really good.
It'd be actually really funny.
Me and my twat?
Yeah.
Like, me Jenny and my shadow?
And Jenny's twat. But as for now, we are skipping next week and we will see you the next week. Please visit us on our socials and all of our socials, including calling us on our telephone at 207-ELTUNA1. That's E-L as in the Spanish. And apparently people have been calling us and we have not noticed. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For keeping our phone alive. If you have anything you want to say to us, gripes, loves, questions, please call the telephone. Also, message us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm on the Twits. Thank you for listening.
We will see you not next week, but the week after.
Goodbye. Gas? Gasoline.
No.
Gash! Jesus!
Oh, gash! You're I don't even know what I was saying. Right, but what was I saying?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.